Next on the agenda is the University of Missouri Extension update.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Nellie Lammers with County Program Director for University of Missouri Extension, Taney County. And I guess first thing I'll start with, for me, right now we've got our volunteer income tax assistance sites open in Taney County. We are doing taxes at no charge for taxpayers with adjusted gross incomes of $52,000 or less, actually $54,000 or less this year. Mondays in Branson, Tuesdays in Hollister, and Wednesdays in Forsyth. And that will be through the end of tax season. And folks can call our office at 417-546-4431 to make appointments. I have figures for January. We started the last week of January, and we did 152 returns that were accepted. That includes federal and state returns in Taney County. Crystal Irons and I are doing business training for National Enzyme Company. We had our first session in a three-session series last Friday. And then other announcements of upcoming programs. Our 4-H specialist still has Science Saturdays at the Taney Hills Library. She had that this last Friday, February 5th, and it's ongoing. And there's a report, full report of hers in here as well. We have the Missouri Cattlemen's Association meeting, which our agronomy intern, Colin Hill, is helping to coordinate. That's coming up on Wednesday, February 17th at the Taneyville School Cafeteria. Private pesticide applicator training is scheduled for Friday, February 19th at the Taneyville Municipal Building. And the Taney County Livestock and Forage Conference coming up February 25th at the Forsyth High School. And both of those two events will be done by our agronomy intern, Colin Hill, as well as our agronomy specialist, Tim Schnockenberg, who's housed in Stone County. And then the next report is from our Family Nutrition Education Associate, Barb Beck. So goes through, she's busy as always, teaching both in the schools in Taney County and also the senior center, as well as other things. And then next is our human development specialist, Jim Worth. And Jim presented 10 programs for 129 attendees in January. And he is also on the senior action team and the Taney County Health Department Institutional Review Board, working with those organizations. And then the next report is our 4-H Youth Development Specialist, Willa Williams, some of the other events that she has going on. And she does have the 4-H Taney County Facebook page, the newsletter and webpage that she puts out monthly. And then this month we've added, and I will add in the future, a program report from our agronomy specialist, Tim Schnockenberg. This lists all of the things that he does in the counties that he is assigned to. And then finally, the program report from Colin Hill, who is our agronomy intern in Taney County. So, questions right now or comments?
Well, you did good job for good presentation and the information. Looks like everybody's busy.
Thank you, Commissioner Strahan.
I don't have any.
Okay.
Where was Vita at in January last year? Do you remember?
Same locations.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Numbers.
Oh. You know, I don't know.
Did they not track it up?
No, I don't know, Commissioner Williams. You know, last year we had a problem with, we were using desktop software and we had to switch to online, and so we couldn't.
You couldn't we can track where it came from, Stone County versus Taney County? Okay.
Exactly.
This year you'll be able to track
this year we can, yes.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is FEMA. Let's see, 2015 flood update and emergency manager, floodplain administrator, and FEMA representatives. Come on up. Sure. We've got two tables if need be. Or...
All right, I guess I'll go first.
All right.
My name's Christopher Arnhem. I'm with FEMA, Intergovernmental Affairs. So what my job is to deal directly with the commission and the mayor to find out if there's any needs particularly that you have. I gave each of you a folder right here. It's got a booklet, Help After a Disaster. It'll basically discuss everything in the packet as I go through it. If anybody needs one, we can get you one. Just come see me or my partner, Tamiko, at the end of our portion, and we'll try and get your name so we can get you guys anything you might need, okay? On the right, we've got a packet that outlines the disaster as of January 21st when it was declared. There also is our sequence of delivery for individual assistance, which is what has been declared so far. If and when PA personal assistance comes available, we'll probably set another meeting with you with a liaison that is more geared towards that. First, what we want to do is encourage anybody that thinks they may have any kind of damage due to the flood, just go through your insurance. You know, first go there, then whatever your insurance says they'll cover or won't cover, then come to FEMA, register. You'll get a 9-digit PIN number, which will be linked to your profile for this disaster, and just go through the steps. One of the steps is the SBA loan, which I know a lot of people from personal experience have been like, I don't want another loan. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. But it's part of the process. What happens in the SBA, just a brief little bit so I don't get out of my lane, they fill that out. If they get declined, a lot of people will just throw it away. They don't read it. If they read all the way through, there's little notations at the back that will say why they were declined. Maybe it was a dual registration. It could be a number of things, but it's important to read the whole letter through. And just because you got declined from FEMA doesn't necessarily mean that's the end of the road. They can then funnel you into a grant program and put you back in the system. So there's a chance for some kind of money. There's also, the next sheet is what to do, what you need to know for a flood. It kind of gives you some basic ideas of what you need to do after a flood, how to get, you know, what to do for possible getting rid of mold, and planning for repairs. The fact sheet on the back has a list of some of FEMA's programs. Like if there was a lot of water in your basement, there's stuff for, you know, for temporary housing, if it wound up getting it up to the main level of the house. There's all kinds of other needs assistance, like for funeral, child care, some miscellaneous expenses. And it's outlined in there what some of those programs are, as well as there's also a mitigation for the hazard mitigation folder that's in your packet as well on the other side. It outlines some of the programs for the National Flood Insurance Plan, and there's also that little book in there as well. So if you guys have any questions, I put my business card in there. You can reach me either by phone or by email. I'm sure for some of you guys, email's probably faster. And I will respond with me, either me or my partner will respond to you within 24 hours if we can't answer the question right then and there. That's pretty much all I've got to say right now. If there's any questions, I know some of the people here may have questions. We can write down your questions. If we can answer them, we'll answer them today. If not, we'll get back to you, and you can give us your information, and so that way we can get back to you guys personally.
Can you tell me how many claims you've received?
I believe, off the top of my head, no. I haven't checked the current number, but I can get that back to you. Now, is that claims for the state of Missouri or the claims for your county?
For our county.
Okay, I will look that up, and I will get it right back to you. I'll get your, I believe I have your phone number, but I'll get your email, and
okay.
I'll get that back to you hopefully by close of business today.
Bob, do you have any?
I don't.
I can get you one.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Now, when you talk about personal assistance, are you talking about, you said if it's approved, has it not been approved yet? Or
It hasn't been approved yet, as far as I know.
Does the dollar value have to reach a certain point before it's ready for Taney County individuals to apply?
That I'm not sure. I can get back to you on that one.
Well, if you have applicants that need to apply to get the dollar amount, then I don't understand how.
Well, it's best to apply so that way, whenever they approve it, if they approve it, they're already in the system. And then once the president declares that, but it's got to go through the state first. So,
Danny, if I may, I mean, we've been approved for individual assistance.
Yeah.
Personal assistance is what he's asking about.
There is no personal, there's public assistance.
I think you guys are confusing individual with public assistance. We have not been approved for public assistance, but the individual assistance is available. Yeah.
If the insurance pays so much on your claim, does that dollar amount affect the
that
total amount to
I know they say go to your insurance first before you go to FEMA. And then, in theory, they say whatever your insurance doesn't claim give you, you can apply for FEMA, and FEMA will assess what you've got with your letter from insurance, and they will send out an adjuster to look, and
will it be 75% as it was last time? We've already been through this once before.
And when he's talking about the 75% in 2011, we used hazard mitigation grant program funds to complete a flood buyout of a total of 9 properties, and that program will still be the 75% funding.
But, Danny, I think we're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
Individual assistance, like somebody has damage, let's say they had some kind of insurance, flood insurance, or for some reason the homeowner is paying some, that will be taken off their damage, and then they can apply for the rest of that. That is not a 75-25 deal. This is either
correct.
You get it or you don't. what you're talking about is on a buyout, and the buyout is clearly still the 75%, 25%, that the FEMA, if it gets approved. But that is really, that is a grant process. Even
yes.
since we got approved for individual assistance does not mean there will be funding there for any kind of buyouts. The county will have, if the county chooses so, has to apply for that, and then it's a competitive grant for everybody else in the state that's involved in this disaster that they compete against to see if this makes sense, that if those buildings would be gone. Now, it is my understanding, since it's a widespread disaster, we have 60-some-odd counties, I think, involved, if I'm top of my head, if I'm right.
I think it's 56.
56. It's pretty big area, but, I mean, this is good and it's bad because there's obviously a lot more people competing for that grant, but on the same token, there's more money available, too, than if it's just a small area.
I'm fully aware of the questions of asking.
I know
the answer,
yeah.
But I want the people that's here to receive the answers. We've already went through this once in 2011, what I should say is there's several hoops to jump through.
A lot of hoops.
As we attempt to get the funds for the citizens of the county. And like you said, it has to be approved. Even though we say that it's available, it's through different grants that you would receive your money, and you have to be approved for those grants.
Right. And you know, when they... In 11, they told us right off the get-go it will take 2 to 3 years to complete the deal, and that happened. But it is not like that. It's just we ask for it, and then 2 or 3 years later we hear about it. Those 2 or 3 years, we're jumping through a lot of hoops trying to make that happen.
Yes.
So it's a lot of work.
We just finished up this year for 2011.
Yes.
So
okay.
That's how long we have to wait for any citizens that are involved in the flooding.
Okay. If I could I provide the commission with kind of an update as to where we're at as far as damage assessments and that type of thing?
Yeah.
If I could. At this point, of course, the county adopted a floodplain management ordinance in 2004, and that's what made the citizens of the county eligible for flood insurance, FEMA-backed flood insurance. And most of the structures, pretty much all the structures that we had that flooded, FEMA refers to as pre-firm structures. So they were all constructed prior to the county adopting a flood insurance rate map. And so essentially they're grandfathered from the county's current floodplain management ordinance. The problem we have is once they become damaged, by any source, whether it's flood, fire, tornado, the floodplain manager is tasked with doing damage assessments on each one of these structures, and then the floodplain manager is supposed to make a determination as to whether each structure has been substantially damaged. And FEMA looks at substantial damage as 50% or more of the market value of the structure. And so if the damages are 50% or more of the market value, the structure is actually supposed to come into compliance with the regulations. And what that would actually require is that these structures be elevated or removed from the floodplain. And so they essentially have to be torn down or elevated. At this point, we've done damage assessments. The planning department staff has done damage assessments on 59 flooded structures, and so all 59 of these structures had floodwaters that were into the floor of the home, into the main floor, or the livable floor of the home. Of the 59, 6 have been initially found to be substantially damaged, but we probably have at least another 6 or 7 that are very close. I've got some that come out 48% damaged, 49% damaged, and so, I mean, I've got some that are very, very close to that threshold. what I've been told at this point by the SEMA representative, the State Emergency Management Agency, is that if the county is interested in applying for Hazard Mitigation Grant Program funds, the grant funds that would fund a buyout, that we'll have to submit a notice of interest. And on the notice of interest, on this form, it asks for some pretty detailed information. We have to have an approximate value of all of the structures that would be involved. We'll have to have some pretty detailed information from each property owner who would potentially wish to participate. FEMA does consider it a voluntary program, and so it is considered something that the property owner can decide, and the county for that matter. It's voluntary for the governmental entity. It's also voluntary for the individual property owner, and so they, if a decision was made to apply for these grant funds, really either the county or any one of these property owners could voluntarily make the decision to not participate. The thing that complicates this quite a bit is what they've indicated to me is that they have what they call a benefit cost analysis. And my understanding is that FEMA provides a computer program in which the county could potentially complete this benefit cost analysis. It's my understanding that if the county were to participate in a flood buyout, but if the county took the same approach as in 2011 and limited that flood buyout to strictly substantially damaged properties, that, and the term she used was may, and so I don't want to put anybody on the, but the SEMA representative had indicated that the benefit cost analysis may be waived. If the county were to participate and were to limit the properties again to strictly substantially damaged properties. There are actually even a couple of other programs, grant programs that are available as well. There's a severe repetitive loss program and also a repetitive loss program. I know that these are even more competitive, where we would be competing nationwide for funds. So these hazard mitigation grant program funds, these are funds that we're eligible for upon receiving this presidential disaster declaration. These repetitive loss funds are competitive more, are open to people all across the country. And so we may or may, if there was a decision to go that route, we may or may not receive those type of funds. We can, in 2011, it was my understanding that we could not apply for commercial properties. My understanding this time is that we potentially can, but that residential properties are given the top priority. Of these six properties, five of them are homes. One is actually a laundry facility for a resort.
And when you talk about 59 properties, you're talking about those in the county?
Yes.
As a whole, because the city then has to apply separate?
I know they have to do separate damage assessments. So each city...
Each city has to do, but your assessment on the 59 homes are a total within Taney County?
Correct.
Okay.
Just in the unincorporated portion.
So,
no. Danny, it does not include city properties.
Correct.
Well, that was my question.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so the 59 is strictly...
outside of the city limits.
Outside of the city limits.
Okay. And get back to that, if it's inside the city limits, then they apply separate with the city. They don't apply with the county. Am I right?
Well,
that I don't know. I can ask one of our hazard mitigation guys.
I think, Danny, I think it is customary that each city does it themselves. But I don't know that that they have, that it has to be that way.
Okay, that's the way it was last time, and so that's the reason I asked the question.
And that question has arisen. We've actually received, our office has received some questions regarding that. Exactly what you said. In 2011, the county limited their flood buyout to strictly properties within the unincorporated portion of the county, and then the city of Branson went through their own flood buyout property process with the properties inside the city limits. At least what I'm hearing secondhand from some folks on Friday, I've heard that they contacted FEMA and that FEMA has indicated that either public entity could apply on these folks' behalf.
I guess the big question that we would have as a county commission is whether we desire to participate. The way that I feel about it is, yes, I think an each commissioner would agree that we participate in this to protect the citizens of our county. Now, there's certain insurance measures that has to be considered, and I know last time there were citizens that refused to, as you said, this volunteer program, there were citizens that refused to participate, but that doesn't mean that we didn't assist those others, and the decision comes later for us on the amount, whether it's a buyout or whether it's whatever, it comes at a later date, but as far as participating in the program, as one commissioner, and I sit here with the other two, would be in favor of helping whoever is in that disastrous situation. Because that question has already came to me as a commissioner.
One thing, and I know the commission's aware of this, or I believe that one thing I might bring up just for the public's information too, and you brought up a good point there. In 2011, we were very fortunate. We had 8 of the 9 property owners did have FEMA flood insurance. And the way this works is if a property owner were to receive flood insurance, and I do best with an example, really. If a property owner had a house that was assessed at $300,000 and they received $100,000 in flood insurance, the most they would be eligible for via a buyout would be the remaining $200,000.
75%.
75% of that, really. They can't, FEMA refers to it as a duplication of benefits.
Yeah.
And so they can't get the same, they can't get the same monies twice. They can't double up. In 2011, the commission also took the stance that the county definitely wanted to assist, but it was made known early on that there's a requirement for a 25% match. And in 2011, as you know, the commission made the decision that either the property owner would essentially come up with the 25% match, or in 2011, we ended up applying for community development block grant funds, and that's what we used for the 25% match in 2011. I've not heard anything this time as to whether or not those will be available. I don't think anybody knows at this point.
Is there any questions from any of the public? Will those be answered as you get ready to leave? They could step out and visit with you.
Yeah, we can write them down, and if we can answer them here, we will. If not, if you guys could give us an email address or phone number, preferably both, we will get back to you as soon as we get the answer.
I think my biggest question at this point is the commission interested in, at this point in submitting a notice of interest. If we don't submit a notice of interest, they haven't given us a deadline yet at this point. But in order to be eligible for these hazard mitigation grant program funds, we're required to submit this notice of interest. What they've indicated to me, or at least what the SEMA representatives indicated, is at this point she's not yet aware of the deadline. She's emailed me the notice of interest form, but she's indicated at some point they'll give us essentially a 30-day deadline, and she felt that that would be coming up fairly quickly, and so I didn't know at this point what the feeling was.
It's my understanding, too, that notice of interest is exactly what it says,
yes.
That you would be interested in the program. And not necessarily. I think you're not signing on a dotted line yet.
We still.
That you're doing it. It's just that you would be interested, but I think you can still change your mind.
What happened in 2011 was exactly what Chris had indicated. We submitted this notice of interest, and I don't recall the exact time frame. My recollection was maybe 5 or 6 months later, we actually received an application form back. And then if we wished to, at that point, to proceed further, then we had to submit the application. I think the biggest thing with this notice of interest is it gives the state and also FEMA an understanding of what kind of dollar amount each entity is looking at, or an approximate dollar amount that we may be looking at. If we're looking at 6 properties with the total cost of this, it gives them an idea of how close they're going to have a specific amount of funds available, and they're wanting to know how much are they going to receive in applications in comparison with this, whatever that amount is that's available.
So Robert, you're the floodplain manager?
Yes.
I think that falls under your... We're not agendized to vote or anything on that right now.
Okay.
So I would just leave it in your hands to do what you think you need to do.
Is there a date that you would, that you're going to set as when this application should be in, or are they going to set the date? You brought up this, so
well,
I'm asking.
Yeah. It's not an application, it's the notice of interest. I think we should leave it in his hands and let him submit it, and then they send the application. You said last time it took 5 months. So.
Correct.
But he did state that he has to have this, and then last time, 4 or 5 months later, they sent the application
right in,
not that we need to have a date that these should be in.
Well, there will be a deadline at some point.
They don't know what it is.
But they don't know what it is yet.
So we'll contact the news media and the radio stations and the newspapers and everybody as far as...
He has the list of the 59. I mean, Bob's already... You've already got all that, correct?
Correct.
So we just leave it in Bob's hands? And
I guess... And I don't know. I guess if there wasn't any interest on the part of the commission in participating, that I didn't want to go to the effort being open of submitting the notice of interest. But if there is an interest on the part of the commission, then I felt it was probably good to move forward as quickly as we could.
I've already declared that I'm interested in going and proceeding. So
okay.
I think individually or at this meeting, you could ask the other two commissioners whether they are or not. So we can move the process forward. There's a long time between this and when the application goes in.
Correct.
So,
correct.
And I concur with the Eastern Commissioner's recommendation. So.
And I probably told you to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's a yes.
Okay.
But we're agendized for flood update, not for a notice of interest.
Okay.
Well, if I may, I have one question that's in regards to the dumpsters and the trash hauling for free. You know, they expired on the 4th, I believe, that month. I haven't heard anybody saying they need an extension or they have issues. And as far as I know, in fact, the dumpsters are picked up. I'm not sure if they're all picked up or not, but they're supposed to. Have you guys heard anything? Is anybody here?
So I haven't heard anything. Yeah, is there anybody that has a comment on that?
I haven't heard anything.
If this is strictly a voluntary thing from the commission to the citizens of Taney County, so if we want to close that date, which has expired, I'm ready to do so. It's not a something that's a long-standing thing, and it's better for our departments to keep track of things if it's closed. So if there's an extension needed, you'll get in touch with us. So.
Okay. I like I said, I
haven't heard. Right.
If I could ask one last quick question, or maybe not.
What if we were to ever tell you no, Bob? I'm just curious. What would happen? I've always wondered that.
When I submit this notice of interest, I'm going to, and it's in no way set in concrete, but I'm going to have to submit a listing of property owners that are potentially going to participate in this. Is that limited strictly to the unincorporated county?
I think we need to get the city of Branson. Was there any other cities involved?
Rockaway Beach.
Rockaway Beach. We need to get the Rockaway Beach and the city of Branson to find out.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care to do something joint. I mean, but I would get with them and see what their plans are. That way it's a consorted effort.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can make it a joint effort, that would even, might get some help.
Find out what they want to do, Bob.
Okay.
Like I said, and then I guess bring it to us, agendize that, and then we can discuss it if we want to.
Sounds good.
And if, when this meeting's over, if I could get your guys' cards so we can add you to our distribution list.
Anything else? I mean,
I think we're good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming down.
Thank you.
All right.
I don't.
Yes, I do.
I guess next on the agenda is a presentation of MAC certificates.
Recognize those that have invested their time and served this county. What we've decided to do is to break it down into departments and go in alphabetical order, and then if their director or elected official has anything they'd like to say, they can be recognized. And so on behalf of Kane County, we want to take this opportunity to express our sincere appreciation of your service to both the citizens of Kane County and your fellow employees. Public service is more than just a job. You're making a difference in someone's life every day, and we sincerely thank you. We will start off with 911. And for 15 years of service, we'd like to recognize Chris Byrne.
Hey, Chris!
You can sit in this seat up here if you want in the middle. Just...
Okay.
For the airport, and all these are 10 years of service, Mark Parent, Mike Molnick, and Terry Scott. Schofield. Aaron Hester, Shane Plummer, and Stephen Hillier. 15 years, Darren Tilley, Jimmy Rendell, Robert Dalton, and Ronald Combs. 20 years of service, Charles Hurst and Jason Davidson. 25 years of service, Will Collins, Donald Williams. 30 years of service, Rodney Jones, David Stottle. 35 years of service, Randy Hayes.
Get them all over in a row there.
Since they all came up once, I got a group shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
That will break the camera.
All right, I got the tall guys in the back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth.
See ya. Huh? Which one?
The one that waved at you there.
Christian County Juvenile Office.
Was it?
Yeah. She's the secretary up there. Yeah. She's been there quite a while. Next on the agenda is the transfer station, road and bridge update.
What I got there before you, we want to, as far as transfer station, that is a wheel loader piece of equipment that we'd like to go out for bid to use in the transfer station. For several years, we've always used backhoes and hand-me-down from road and bridge, and we keep two of them on hand pretty much all the time just to keep things running. But right here we budgeted, and I'd like to go out for bid for a waste handling type wheel loader. And on the second page is the actual type of wheel loader. We're currently looking for the 950 size to fit what we plan to do. Even when we get the new building, this will work for that, and I think it'd be more durable and useful with the waste handler package, which has the extra guarding, the extra cooling, and the waste handler bucket. So no matter how we arrange the transfer station, whether it's push off or load, this loader will be able to handle that application.
This has the ability to reach in and pack and do everything that the...
As far as packing, we'll still have to probably utilize the backhoe as somewhat packing in the bottom of the treader, but once it gets to the top, depending on the bucket and type, depending on how we set it up, this should be able to pack similar to what they do in Springfield Transfer and other places. So,
does it come with the 8 different buckets?
No, you specify what bucket you want to use on it. That just gives you different options. It has several options what you set up with it, but
you're just making us aware of this. You've already budgeted for it, right?
We've already budgeted. Basically, we're looking to try to do this.
Are you going to look at maybe 2 different buckets for it?
Possibly. That's something we want to look at, but we want a big enough bucket to be able to push pretty good loads in. And right now, these trash trucks are getting big, and they dump a pretty good pile in on the floor right now. It takes a backhoe a considerable amount of time working at it to get it pushed off in the trailer. So we need something that can handle what we're doing over there. That's basically all I had for transfer station. So, this is something wrong. in replacing mower tractors, this one you see in the bottom picture is something we're kind of looking at. It's a bigger size tractor that we can utilize year-round. And the bottom picture shows a flail head, shows a small arch boom. This, similar to our side boom tractors, only this is a smaller type boom. We can utilize this in most of our mowing operation in place of the sickle tractor, which has neat features. This flail head will slide in and out, as well as the rotary head that you see in the top picture. So it can be used around guardrail and different things, signs and whatnot. We're thinking this would be a better fit for long term than just buying a sickle tractor and replacing. And this is something I'd like to bid out and possibly get two of these.
Or is one of these a replacement for the machine?
One's a replacement for the sickle tractor. I'm thinking of putting one at Buchanan Shop and one at Mount Branson Shop, utilizing that area of the county. And possibly bidding this out with the option of both the rotary and the flail head, so in the wintertime they could use a rotary head in certain areas. We've got the machines to do the height. This will primarily just fit another area that we can utilize year-round. If you don't have any questions, the only other item I had as far as road and bridge is on our animal control project where we're putting in a sewer line, we're going to have quite a bit of amount of material that we're going to have to haul off and get rid of, and I was wanting to know if we could utilize the Acacia Club and start hauling in there. I've also got a pile at the Buchanan Shop that I need to get rid of and clear that yard for future improvements. So.
Move forward with it.
Okay.
Yep.
Other than that, we're hopefully no more winter. We can move along with our project. So. That is all I had, gentlemen.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Taney County Coroner salary discussion. I have a letter here from Frank. This is a salary discussion for the upcoming, for next year's salary.
Yeah, statute says that the commission actually sets the salary for the coroner. I know there's, do you have all the information as far as the types of deaths, the amount of deaths over the last so many years? But,
We have
two options. We can either do a coroner or we can do a medical examiner. And we've always chose to do a coroner. Medical examiner gets paid anywhere from, what, $125,000 to $165,000 a year. So that's why we've always chosen to do an elected position as a coroner.
In Camden County, the medical examiner makes $95,000. In Greene County, a medical examiner makes $200,000, and they each have vehicles. Cape Girardeau, no medical examiner, coroner makes $36,000. Taney County's coroner makes $16,000 and is provided with a vehicle. Christian County, they get two vehicles, and the coroner makes $38,000. St. Francis County, they get a vehicle, and they salary for the coroner is $27,000. And Jasper County, they get vehicle and or mileage, and they make $25,000. Those are Class 1 counties with a coroner and the ones with a medical examiner. I think the closest that fits us would be the Jasper County. I would think they would have just as, based on their population. And,
yes, no, I mean, I don't know what, again, do you have the information on deaths and type of deaths?
I don't have it. I don't have it. I do have,
Danny, there were do you some, remember?
Some things
no,
that were submitted.
No, there's been quite an increase in the last 4 years compared to what it was before.
The reason I was thinking is like 65% increase in most of, now it's not death related to old age.
Right.
Now a lot of it's
homicides.
Unfortunately, it's been homicides, suicides.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not
mysterious deaths, or they classify them somehow like that. Anyway, to kind of cut to the chase on this, I've looked through that, and I'm a firm believer that our county needs to represent and not be the lowest paid salaries in the state, and I'm going to go with a motion to approve the same as the lowest paid there, which is Jasper County, and we provide a vehicle now. And the salary would be $27,000. Is that what it says?
$25,000 for Jasper County.
$25,000. That's. I'm going to make that into a motion that we set the coroner's salary at $25,000 for the future.
Before we do that, we'll have some discussion.
Well, yeah, we can make a motion in a second, and then have discussion if you want to. We may not get a second on that amount, but.
The auditor's here to. You want to say something? But
yeah, I just want to make sure you guys are aware. There will be some statutes you need to check out, because I'm not sure whether this would take effect now.
It doesn't take effect until the next election.
Next election.
Okay, that was all I wanted to make.
Yeah, yeah. But we have to. You know,
and I'm really glad you're addressing it early like that.
And just to be honest with you, I mean, it's been discussed, I know, individually. Not with each other, but with current coroner. I know that he wanted it done. If there was going to be an increase, he preferred it be done before sign-ups.
That didn't surprise me.
That way, there's no, you know, because and this might get people to run. And so, because again, I don't know that I'd want to deal with what they have to deal with for $16,000 a year, and have to see what they have to see and make decisions that they have to make. So.
I just
want
to make sure.
But yeah, no.
And it's all the other offices when they take office. This dollar amount is for that 4 year term that they're in office. If the future commission decided they wanted to raise that, they have by statute the ability to do so. So any future commission could make that decision, set up a statute. But this is for a 4 year term. As coroner.
Right, yeah, there's statutes don't allow for there to be a pay increase in the middle of a term.
Right.
Contrary to popular belief on. But anyways.
So we have a motion for $25,000 increase.
And a vehicle.
And a vehicle for the coroner.
We just added the vehicle last year. Didn't we buy a brand new vehicle last year?
Last year, year before last. Mm-hmm.
So.
All second with discussion.
We have a second and discussion.
I would be curious as to how many deaths, what the workload for Jasper County is versus Taney County. With it being a tourist-related area, we have, at any given time, we'd have the population of a 200,000-300,000 extra people. So, and the majority of our deaths that he's had to deal with have not been locals. It's been a lot of the transient society that comes in and out of the hotels. So that's just a.
I think that he, and I've visited with him for the last 2 or 3 years, he's brought this up, and I think he's requesting in the 30s thousand.
Yes, I don't remember.
But I don't remember exactly what. But I truly believe that this county's been in the back seat on salaries for their people that served the county for years, and I think that we have made a decision to change that, and it's been the proper decision, and I don't think that we ought to have our coroner working less than the lowest paid county in the state in the first class counties. So that's the reason that I made the motion as such. Brandon, I know if you think it needs to be somewhat more, well, that's fine. But that's just salary increases are always controversial, but that's where I'm standing.
25?
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, 25. Who was the other 27,000? St. Francis or?
Yeah, St. Francis.
St. Francis County.
Christian was 38.
38 and Christian.
Who was 32?
36, Cape Girardeau.
I thought there was one that was 32,000.
No. 36,000.
Christian was 38,000?
Yes.
St. Francis was 27?
Yes.
Mike, do you have any thoughts?
We approve for this year, but I know this is for the next term, right?
Yes.
We moved it up this year for this year to 19,000.
That was the total salary, right?
Right.
That wasn't for just the coroner. That was 16 for the coroner, because that's what he gets currently.
Yeah.
Plus 3,000 for any deputy or assistants that he has. So that wasn't the...
Oh, that wasn't total?
No.
No.
Nope, he gets 16,000.
16. Oh, no, I would say that we're pretty close to St. Pop, I mean, with Jasper County, and I would agree with the 25,000.
Regardless, I mean, again, I don't know what the, my question is how many deaths and how much, what's the workload and types of deaths? But I don't know the answer to that, so.
We had an update once, and I don't even remember how much it was at the time. I knew there needed to be an increase at the time, but the coroner came to me. He gave me all that information, but I cannot. I'd be afraid to quote it because I'd be afraid I'd quote it wrong. I know there was, and the figure was in the 60s, I thought of a percentage increase in just
like
1 year.
Like 60 or 65% increase, yeah.
Just in 1 year, I mean, and so...
You guys are both thinking 25. Go ahead and call them.
We have a second for on your motion for 25,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
That's furnished with a vehicle. That's the way those others are listed. So.
We have next on the agenda court orders.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
First court orders I have is a personal paid abate, personal property paid abatements, personal property refunds. Abatement numbers 300105, 300106, 300107. Leasing company rendered leased vehicle in error. 2013 Cadillac SRX was registered in Iowa in 8-2014 and was not in Taney County as of 1-1-2015. Assessed for the 2015 and 2016 in office. She needs a 2014 paid abatement on the 94 Pontiac Firebird. As a DOR record shows, she sold it in 2013. She left it on the form by accident. So they need to take off the 94 Pontiac Firebird. 300107, actually. Taxpayer filed an error, 2001 Nissan and 2007 Chevrolet. Both vehicles were transferred out of business name prior to 01-01-2015.
Level that Exhibit A. Move to approve Exhibit A with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next ones I have is real estate paid abatements. These are refunds. Abatement numbers 202224, 202225, 202227. Clerical error. Residents from .073 was put on this parcel incorrectly. On 202225, erroneous assessment per condo letter and owner's address changed from commercial to residential value. 202227, erroneous per letter, condo is not commercial, but is not commercial value, refund difference from commercial to residential value.
I guess we want to mark that Exhibit B. Abatement numbers 202224, 202225, 202227. And I'll make a motion to approve. Do I have a...
How many years, and it's one that's requesting more than 1 year refund. How many years are the refunds on some?
These are all just 2015 tax years.
Okay.
There's none that's any prior.
I seen wrote in the letters that it was asking if there's anything we could do about it. The reason I was asking. Okay.
The letter that was dated 128? Huh? Talk about the handwritten letter that was dated 128? Uh-huh. Of 15. Is that right?
Would you say a 15 or 16?
I think the handwritten letter was a 15.
I think it says 128, 16.
Is it? Yeah, you're right, it is.
And that's on abatement 202225.
They had come in, I guess, and paid their taxes and then requested a refund. Is that the way that works? Because the letter is 128, and I guess that's your concern, Brandon.
What's that?
They had come in and paid their taxes, and then they requested the refund. Is that what your concern is?
No.
I'm going to second the motion on, I don't know whether we want to do those individually or not, the one where the son was requesting because his passing of his father and mother with illness is definitely needs to be something done there because he didn't know anything about it, so...
That wasn't your motion, though. Your motion was to...
I know, but I'm just making... We're in discussion.
Oh, well, there's not been a second. So.
Well, I'm gonna second the motion.
All in favor?
Was you going to do Exhibit B on the whole thing?
Yes. believe I made my motion and I cited each of the abatement numbers, 2-4, 2-5, and 2-7. So do I have a second?
I seconded the motion.
All in favor? Did you want some discussion?
No, I already had discussion about what I was concerned with.
All in favor?
I want to break that down into a different, into that motion of Exhibit B.
Okay.
I want to do the...
You have a motion on the call for a vote, so we have to vote on it. And then if you want to make a change, then you can. Or you can amend your, you can take away your second.
Okay.
And ask Mike to amend his motion.
I'll amend the motion.
You have to have your second taken away first.
Okay.
I'll take away the... I'll do away with the second.
Now you can amend your motion, Mike.
All right. I'm going to amend the motion. To Exhibit B to B.
And you're going to put a number on it?
I can put a number on it. You want to address each abatement number?
We can. I'm going to go ahead and...
Danny, I'm assuming you're fine with the first one, the last one. You're not fine with the middle one, the 225?
Yeah, I'm questioning that one. But the other two, I'm ready to do something on.
Move to approve abatement number 202224 and abatement number 202227.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Are you presenting the other one, Wesley?
I presented all three of them at the same time.
I mean the last one. We approved.
Okay, you approved two
yeah.
of the two of them.
Yeah.
You have not disapproved or approved the third one. I am in limbo right now, waiting on to find out what you're going to do with 202225. Okay, so you're going to disapprove it?
We don't have to accept it.
I have to know either one way or the other. If you're approving the abatement or if you're not approving the abatement. There is no third option there. It's yes or no.
I don't believe that's the case.
I say, yeah, Wesley, I don't know that.
I don't have, in the computer system, I do not have... a position that says commission refused to see it or refused to accept it. It says approved or disapproved. That's the options I have.
Is
And if y'all want to sit there and not do anything about it, you'll get to see it next week and the week after that until you decide to make a choice on it, because I cannot pull it out of the system.
What'd you do with the one last week that we didn't vote on?
You did vote on all of them.
I didn't vote on the one that had the date.
You did vote on all of them. You voted nay. Mr. Schofield voted aye on it, and the vote passed because Mr. Williams was absent. So it was voted on and passed. Approved.
Move on to Exhibit C.
Okay. You want to hold this till next week then?
Wesley.
I'm asking a question.
I understand that.
What?
The commission asked to move on to Exhibit C.
Okay. Exhibit C. I won't do that. Because I would make it Exhibit C myself. But I will move on to erroneous assessments.
Mr. Schofield, if you don't mind, we'll take a recess.
Sure, we'll recess.